You're listening to The Paul Higgins Show, the place for ambitious tech consultants scaling to live better. After 18 years as a global leader and having a successful tech consulting exit, I'm sharing what's working now to transform emerging tech consultants worldwide into trusted consultants that attract the best clients and deliver measurable results. When you're ready to level up your clarity, results, and freedom, begin with the free strategic profits blueprint available at paulhigginsmentoring.com/blueprint. Imagine this. You spend $6,000 to get 20 guaranteed sales meetings with a LinkedIn outreach agency only to find, hello, this is Paul Higgins and welcome to episode 553 of the Paul Higgins Show. And it's a solo episode this time. So only to find you are throwing mud against the wall and damaging your brand. I was motivated to record this podcast because I am frustrated and disappointed at the number of tech consultants who come to work with me and tell me their tails are being burnt by LinkedIn outreach agencies. If you're in that boat, I apologize for not doing this episode earlier. If you're about to decide, please listen carefully to what I and other tech consultants have experienced before you waste your money and, more importantly, your time. Before I share my top five tips, I want to emphasize that not all LinkedIn outreach agencies are bandits, and I do have trusted providers. Reach out to me to get their details, or if you're a member of the Tech Collective, you can find them in the resource channel that's linked straight to our Airtable with all our knowledge base. However, the sad fact is that most LinkedIn outreach agencies are more about getting sales. That's right, their results is in sales for them than delivering results for you. Now, don't get me wrong. LinkedIn outreach is complicated and getting more challenging by the minute due to the plethora of AI-generated messages hitting our LinkedIn inboxes daily. It's a bit like when marketing automation first took off. And yes, unfortunately, we, as in the marketers, the salespeople, often took something that was meant to be easy and turned it into a lot of pain for our clients. But there are certain activities that you should be working with them or the agency to increase your chances of success. So let me go through my top five here so you can minimize getting caught by a bandit. So number one is picking a niche or a niche, depends on where you live. The best chance of success is when a potential client reads your profile and says, finally, someone who really gets me. It means you must stand for something and be willing to say no to others. Many agencies purchase lists and send your messages to the mass. In other words, they get the list and just send it to the same people that have already had messages sent before, and they just hope that it works. You should get a very tight list, 700 to 900 potential clients in a niche or a niche, and then apply further criteria to select the right ones. Now, it shouldn't be a numbers game. The agency should be able to get within 75% fit to your ideal client, i.e., they look at the attributes, they give you a list, and might be a list of 10 to 15, and they score against the criteria you give, and then they should be within 75% of that, right? Because if they're 75% or better, then you can trust them that they're going to pick the right people. And it does take time, and what it does is it often eats into their margin because their margin is made up mainly of labor, of people doing this, and they don't want people to spend time doing that, which I sort of get, but it means that it's not going to work, right? And I had, you know, 90% of people that an agency reached out to that were just completely the wrong fit, right? And that just wasted my time for reviewing them, my team's time. It was crazy. So the first one is picking a niche. And for some of you, picking a niche, ideal client, it's the same. But what I say is that the niche is more important than the actual ideal client. So the second is sending generic messages. We send a connection request, and then in 3 days, you get message two, 5 days, you get message three, et cetera, et cetera, right? And we've all seen them, right? We've all received them, and we know, and we can see the ones where they're coming. And it sounds okay, but you know, if you can sniff it out, your potential client can definitely sniff it out a mile away. A message can have some standardization. Don't get me wrong. I think that's fine. But it also has to be tailored for your niche or your niche. And a pro tip is make sure that you remove connection requests in 28 days as LinkedIn uses this as a data point when deciding to suspend your account. When someone says that it's spam or flags you. Now, that's not a definitive, but we believe, you know, through an article that I got from a LinkedIn expert that got that from LinkedIn themselves, that that's the case, right? So please always make sure that you're removing those connection requests if they haven't accepted within 28 days. So we've gone through niche, second generic messages. The third one is automation. Following on from these messages is the way they are sending the messages, right? If you're using automation tools to send all the messages, they could be putting your account at risk. Not all automation tools are created equal, and I would ask them what they are using, how safe it is, and also how they're protecting your account. So they're using a proxy, like, you know, what are they doing? How are they managing? I think that's really important. And if you like, I can give you a list of the tools that we've trusted, and, you know, they're a really good guide as to what we think the good ones. And believe me, we've used hundreds of these platforms, not just ourselves, but through our membership. So we know quite a bit about it. So niche, messages, automation was number three. Number four is pre-engagement. So they should engage with a potential client's profile before sending the connection request. It can be a combination of likes or comments. Peter Gorrell, who was a great guest on our show, on the Paul Higgins show, he goes in and explains why it's so important. And that's on episode 522. And the title of that episode is You Are the Brand. But he gives a really good reason why you should pre-engage. And I know that we always do it. And we use a platform that makes it easy. It's called Break Cold. So break is in break bread. Cold is in cold. And what it does is allows you to see all the potential clients' profiles in one feed. So you don't have to keep swapping in and out of LinkedIn and everyone's individual feed. So that's great. And the other thing with pre-engagement, just a bonus tip here, is they should also be looking at the content that you're posting, getting you to post, right? Because when someone reaches out to you, what you'll often do is look at the connection request, you'll go and look at their profile, and then you might actually look at some of their content to see if they're aligned to the problems that you've got, right? The same thing happens for you. So yes, it's important to pre-engage, but it's also to make sure that they're creating content for you rather than just sending out mass messages. Okay, so we've gone through niche, we've gone through messages, we've gone through automation, we've gone through pre-engagement. So the last one is results expectations. The result you want is a new client, right? And what you'll often hear from agencies, they'll promise you a certain number of qualified leads, qualified meetings. And I get they can't guarantee or promise you new clients, but ultimately that's the goal. And what I want you to do is please dig into what a qualified lead is or a qualified meeting. As their definition can often fall well short of yours, or certainly, you know, that's been the experience with myself and also other clients. And this links back to the point where they haven't correctly defined the ideal client, so it's quite loose, and therefore they're saying, yes, we've sent you all these qualified leads, and you go back through them and it becomes a bit of an argument. I had a client recently that, you know, they said they'd had 12, he said they'd only had 7, and the target was 20. And they said, oh, we'll keep working for free until we get to the number. So A, there's a difference in the numbers, but B, the fact that they kept sending out really bad messages to potential clients was harming their brand. And I just said, you're better off doing nothing than getting these guys to continue, all right? And I also think that, you know, if someone's promising you results in 60 to 90 days, then this is a bit of a red flag as well. And if the result is new clients, right, I think that's a bit of a red flag. So what have we covered? We've covered picking a niche, 2, generic messages, 3, automation, 4, pre-engagement, and number 5 is result expectations. And a quick bonus tip here is ask if they've worked with someone like you, right? E.g. a tech consultant. So whether, you know, have you worked with a Salesforce consultant, NetSuite consultant, Zoho consultant, Monday consultant, Slack, blah, 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 right? And it doesn't mean that it's exactly your peer group, i.e. someone that's in the same platform as you, but they need to have proof that they've worked with someone like you. And what often happens is that they say, yes, we've worked with someone like you. And then when you dig in and ask them for specific evidence of that, they're left wanting, right? So really make sure that they have worked with someone like you. So these 5 points are here to help you miss the bandits, right? And, you know, if you've been caught out, don't be too hard on yourself, right? I've been caught out twice, not once, but twice on two occasions. And most of my clients are being caught out as well, right? So unfortunately, it's a merry-go-round we all go through. But I want to use this podcast as a way, if you're just about to engage in this, to really make sure that you're asking the right questions and you're doing some good due diligence, because they're great at selling. Fantastic at selling, right? That's their core business. Not their core business often isn't getting you new clients. So ready, set, go. One, do your research and ask questions on these 5 points. Two, if you're a member of the Tech Collective, check out our recommended providers. If you are having a great experience yourself and you're listening to this, please let me know and I'll add them to the list. I always do my own due diligence and a bit of research, but I'll certainly consider them to add them to the list. Number three, if you have questions, email me. I'm happy to help, as I'm frustrated when your hard-earned cash and time is wasted. And thanks if you're one of the people that recently reached out to me on LinkedIn and thanked me for the show. You know, sometimes you don't get a lot of feedback, and I really love when I do. And, you know, as I always say, this is exclusive for tech consultants, and I would love to have your recommendations on some topics that I haven't covered. So once again, reach out to me. All the links are in the show notes. And I'll see you next time on the Paul Higgins Show. Time for action. Subscribe, comment, and let me know what you like best about this episode. Plus, get the Strategic Profits Blueprint at paulhigginsmentoring.com/blueprint.